speak to us. Thank you that you're not just a philosophy or a lifestyle. You are a living God, and that you are alive today speaking to your people. Jesus, thank you for the gift of prophecy, that we have the Word of God, and that is awesome. That's our bedrock. That's our foundation, and we know how to live. But Lord, that your Spirit is speaking your words to us every day in all sorts of different ways. Thank you for that, God. I pray for your grace to be over me, to share your word today, God, and to give a good foundation for prophetic ministry so that we know how to receive what you're speaking to us today. And Father, I pray for your presence to be on us, during the teaching, but also, God, during the prophetic ministry, Lord, that you would speak life-changing words today and people would be set free and would have a new vision and a new hope over their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what is prophecy? Well, the Hebrew word to prophesy is naba. It means, get ready for this, it means to prophesy. Very deep stuff. To prophesy, essentially it means to speak on behalf of God. That God speaks something, you share it with somebody else. That's to prophesy. Interestingly enough, the word naba, to prophesy, is very similar to another Hebrew word. It's the same with phlegm at the end. Nabach. Nabach means to bubble forth, to flow forth. It's often used in the Old Testament to talk about speech, that the speech just flowed forth out of you to someone. So when you prophesy, you hear from God, and what he says flows into your spirit, and you let that flow forth from your spirit into someone else, but through your mouth, which sounds really weird when you put it that way. It's God speaking to you, and you let it just come out, and his words then go into other people's hearts. What's the point of prophecy? Well, let me first cover what prophecy is not, because there's some misunderstanding out there. A lot of times when we talk about prophecy, people think, the end times. So you're going to tell me about the beast and the Antichrist and the rapture. And you're going to tell me about all this stuff and when Jesus is coming back and destruction. That's cool. Yeah, let's talk about that. No, principally in the Bible, prophecy is largely not about that stuff. It can, you could talk about the end times. It could come up, but it's not the main focus of prophecy. Prophecy, also the main focus is not just the future in general. Today, as we prophesy over the new members, we are probably not going to give you stock tips or Powerball numbers. It's not because we don't want to share, but that's not how it works. I'm sorry. Some of you are rethinking, I don't want this anymore. I thought I was gonna. Richard is disappointed. It's not principally about the future. It's also not principally about pointing out your sin, calling down judgment from God. You read some of the prophetic books, and you can kind of get this picture. Oh, wow, prophecy is just about judgment and wrath and condemnation and pointing out sin. It can have aspects of that, but prophecy is not largely about pointing out your sins. Our goal today, as we prophesy over the new members, is not, Lord, give me something juicy. Tell me how they're in trouble, God. I want to know. That's not, hopefully God is speaking to you that if there is sin in your life, hopefully he's been speaking to you all along, and his goal is not to embarrass you today and let everybody know your dirt. If there's dirt, I'm trusting that he's been speaking to you. So there are three main things that prophecy does. Number one, to build you up, stir you up, and cheer you up. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 1, Paul writes, pursue love and desire and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The word upbuilding in Greek is a word that was used to talk about remodeling a house or taking, buying an empty land and building a house onto this empty land. So when Paul says that prophecy is for our upbuilding, it's like God's looking at your spirit, like he's looking at your life and he's going, there's some problems here in your spiritual house. There's some remodeling I need to do. There's some broken parts. There's some worn down parts. There's some dirty parts. And through a prophetic word, that prophetic word can clear that stuff up and start remodeling your little shack so it starts to look like a mansion. Or there might be some empty ground and God's like, yeah, I'm a fan of fields, but I want to build a palace there. And through a prophetic word, that can start something where God starts building this new thing inside of you. You might get a new vision, new hope, new destiny, a new calling, new gifts. That he sees that and he goes, let's build something inside you now. So that's one thing that prophecy does, is it builds us up. The other thing Paul mentions is it's for our encouragement. The word encourage, in the English word, comes from the French, which comes from the Old French, which comes from the older French, which comes from the oldest French. In the Old French, the word encourage, which I don't know what it was in the Old French, but it literally meant to give courage. So when Paul says that prophecy is for our encouragement, there's an aspect of courage that is imparted to you because God is speaking to you, and so you're able to rise up in courage now. The word encouragement in Greek is paraklesis, which is very similar to and related to one of the words for the Holy Spirit, parakletos, meaning the comforter, the advocate. So there's something that happens when you hear a prophetic word. It's like God's Spirit is in that word because God's speaking that. And so there's power in that word, and his Spirit is behind it, and it comes upon you. It goes into your ears, it comes into your heart and your spirit, and now you rise up with courage to do what God has called you to do. And then he says, finally, that it's for our consolation. Prophecy is not meant to condemn you, to make you feel bad, to beat you up, to confuse you and make you scared. I've heard of, people have shared stories of receiving prophetic words that were just like terrifying. Like someone would come up and say, God says he's good, God's going to kill your husband. It's like, that's not consoling, that's not encouraging, and that is not upbuilding. That's not prophecy. That's you're being freaky now. Probably God did not say that. So Paul says prophecy is for our upbuilding, our encouragement, and our consolation. It's to build you up, to stir you up, and to cheer you up, as we like to say it here. Number two, so that's one purpose of prophecy and what we're going for today as we prophesy over the new members. Another one is to impart a gift. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes to Timothy in verse 14. Says, Timothy, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. So this gift, so Paul's encouraging Timothy, he's like, you've got a gift. Don't neglect that, because that gift was given to you by prophecy when the elders all got together, laid their hands on you, and prayed over you. There's something miraculous that can happen through the prophetic word. That, you think about it back in the beginning of creation. God created everything through what? Through his words. His words have power to create. His words have life. His words have authority. And so when he speaks his words over you, he can impart a gift into you. This happened to me way back in 99 or 2000. I think it's 2000. I became a member of Cornerstone Church, and Brian, Michael, and a number of the other elders and pastors that we had at the time all prayed over me. And others as well. I don't remember who all was there. And one thing that kept popping up was, you have a prophetic gift. God has given you ears to hear his voice. He wants you to speak out his words. You're called as a prophet to the nations, which was very prophetic because, yeah, I've been all over and I want to go even more places. And so this theme kept popping up. And so then Michael goes, after all of this, I was a new Christian, didn't know anything. And Michael goes, hey, you got to, Michael's back there for those who don't know Michael. I think most of you do. Michael, he's really good at encouraging you to, if God said something, go for it. And he's like, hey, God just spoke over you that you got a prophetic gift and you're going to speak his words. Here's a mic. Go prophesy. I'm like, prophesy? I don't know how to prophesy. He's like, sure you do. Just start talking. You got it in you. I'm like, okay. I don't know what I said. It felt like it was just the heavens opened up and it was glorious. I'm sure it was 30 seconds of awkwardness, but it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I felt like words coming out. I'm like, wow, I'm prophesying. This is so cool. God imparted a gift to me at the moment. I'd never prophesied before. I didn't know how to prophesy, but it was in me because God put it in me. When we prophesy over you today, God might impart a gift over you. into you. You might get a gift of healing. It's not like we're giving that to you, but it's something God put inside you. But through the prophetic word, now that can be unleashed because there is power in the words of God. All right, so that's another thing that prophecy can do, is it can unleash a new gift or activate a new gift in you. Now some of you are probably scared. You're like, are you going to make me prophesy too today? That's why I brought Michael here. All right. Number three, prophecy is meant to give you strength to fight the good fight. Again, to Timothy, Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them, by these prophetic words that he'd heard, that by these words you may wage the good warfare." Some of the things that God will speak to you today, it's to give you strength so that you continue on in the fight. When we were in Romania, before we went to Romania, we had a lot of people prophesying over us. And one thing that kept coming up was God kept saying, you're going to plant churches in Romania. This prophetic word sustained us so many times where we were trying to start a church and the church failed. Tried to start another church, church failed. And we kept saying, God, you said churches. We're going to start churches. Finally, we got one little church and it was like, oh, I think this thing is continuing. It's working. But then we went, God said churches. That's plural. We have our one little church. Lord, you promised us we would have multiple churches, so God, do it. And we would cry out all the time, Lord, you spoke it to us. You confirmed it. God, give us grace to do it. We want to see it. Devil, you're a liar. You can't keep us with this one church. God promised churches. That's at least two. And so finally, we got our second church, and then we left. Not intentional, but God was like, all right, now go. So we went, and now we're up to, well, I think they had four, and they might be back to two now. I'm not sure. It's all a little. No, we're up to three now. Yeah, actually, this is kind of cool. So our gypsy pastor, Marius, just connected with some people in England that had started a small church in England, a gypsy church, and they've come under him now. So now we have a church in England as well, which is pretty exciting. And they're pumped. They got the British church there, they've got good jobs and a lot of finances, so they're like, we can plant churches all over the United Kingdom. So, yeah, Jesus is doing it. All right, so some of the prophetic words that he'll speak to you today, it's to give you strength so you can keep fighting. Like, you might hear something about, you're going to have wisdom. You're gonna know the Bible. You know it inside and out. And you'll be able to speak with wisdom. And you hear that and you're like, but I don't have wisdom. I don't understand the Bible. It's so confusing. Yeah, but he wants to give you that wisdom. So then whenever you go to the Bible and you're like, I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense to me. Then you go, Lord, you promised wisdom. I want that. That was your voice. That was your word. Your prophetic word to me. I receive it, God. And that word will give you strength. So you keep pursuing it until you've got that wisdom that he spoke over you. Another prophetic word that we received before going to Romania was, I think this was from Brian actually, where he said, and this, we kept praying this over and over again. He said, you're going to be like a small stone that's thrown into a stream, but that, and that small stone, it's going to seem small at first, but as the water goes around it, that it's going to push other rocks against that little stone, and that, then all those stones together will become a big pile, and that's going to reroute the direction of the whole river. And so as we were out there, it was hard work. There were times where we're just banging our heads against the wall. Nothing's happening. I said, man, we feel like we're just a small stone in a big river. Yeah, you are, guys. Just be that small stone. It's all good. It gives you strength to keep fighting until you receive what God has called you to do. Okay, so prophecy is to build you up, stir you up, cheer you up. It's to awaken new gifts in you. And a new calling in you, it's to give you grace to fight the good fight and make it until the end. All right, let me give you a few quick pointers. I know this is very fast, but you get the shortened version today. A few quick pointers before we get everybody up here to prophesy over you. Number one, we know in part and we prophesy in part. When we prophesy over you, we are not God. You know, I think we've tried to make that abundantly clear. We don't know everything. God knows everything, but he's not going to tell us everything, and he doesn't want you to know everything today. Not till you're in heaven, and even then it's going to take eternity to find out. So we know in part and we prophesy in part. We may not, maybe you have it in your heart. You're like, I really want to be a singer for Jesus. I want to do worship. And we prophesy over you, and worship doesn't come up. Singing doesn't come up. And you leave, and you're like, man, but I wish I was a singer, but God doesn't think I've got it in me. If God put it in you, do it, man. We're not God. We don't know everything. So you might have something in you that doesn't come up. That's okay. Go pursue what God's put in your heart. On the flip side of that, you know, God may not, will not may not, he will not reveal all of your deepest, darkest secrets today. If there's sin in you, he's probably not going to tell it to us. He might, but most likely he's not going to tell it to you, because hopefully he's speaking it to you already to repent of this thing. And so if you're, you know, cheating on your wife and we don't bring it up, it doesn't mean that's okay. It doesn't mean God's like, buddy, you know, go for it. No, if it's sin, it's sin. But he doesn't want to embarrass you, and he's probably speaking to you on this topic already, and so he trusts, look, you know what you're supposed to do, knock it off. So we know in part, we prophesy in part. Number two, test everything. As we prophesy over you, you know, there's two extremes that you see often in the Christian world regarding prophecy. You have the group that goes, well, they said, thus saith the Lord, it must be true, you know, and I have to receive this. We saw that a lot in Romania. Africa, too, has this a lot, where, you know, pastors, and some pastors abuse this, and so they'll add, thus saith the Lord, on something. They go, well, I guess I got to quit my job because he said I needed a new job, and thus saith the Lord, so I got to do that. Or, thus saith the Lord, increase your giving to 20% instead of 10%. It's like, well, he said, thus saith the Lord, I got to do that. You know, that's not what we're supposed to do. Just because someone says it's a prophetic word, you don't just go and run with it. Test it. The other extreme is where you throw it all out. You watch some crazy charismatic stuff online, and you're like, well, that's nuts. Or you hear a bad prophecy. I had a friend of mine, somebody prophesied over him one time that he was going to go through a period of his Christian walk where he walked away from God and was in sin. But don't worry about it. I'm leading you into this sin, so just embrace it. No. That's not okay. That's not right. Test everything. You know, we're not going to say anything crazy over you today. But, you know, we do have this is one reason we prophesy in a group. Because, you know, if we hear something weird, I might say, Brian, I just heard he's whatever. Yeah, I'm feeling that too. Okay, we'll go for it. Or Brian might say, no, that's just whacked. And I go, all right, sounds good. But test everything. You know, if you hear something, if we prophesy over you, you're called to move to the jungles of Africa, and you're like, no. You know, don't just throw it out and go, that's a bunch of garbage. The whole prophetic movement is garbage. That's all baloney. I don't believe any of that. Say, well, all right, you know, we're going to record everything. So you're like, all right, I'll take the recording. I might even like write it down and put it somewhere, but I'm not going to like, you know, you don't throw it out, but you test it. You know, that doesn't, resonate in my spirit. So, all right, it's not really what God's doing, but don't just throw it out, because it might actually be something that God does later on. Maybe 10 years from now, there's an opportunity for you to go on a short-term mission trip to Africa, and you remember that prophetic word, and you go, oh, I guess that was from God. So we want to be balanced about it. Don't just throw it out. Don't just receive it no matter what, but test it. Test it according to the scriptures. Test it according to what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. Yeah, there's been a number of times where I had some kind of weirder prophetic words that people spoke over me, and I thought, I don't know about that. But I would write them down, and I had a notebook where I would put them all in this notebook, and once in a while I'd look through the notebook, and sometimes I'd see, oh wow, like 5 years later, oh, I understand it now. That's what they were trying to say, or that's what God was trying to speak to me. So don't just receive it blindly, but also don't just throw it out. Test it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says, do not despise prophecies. Despise, in the Greek, it means to belittle, which I think a lot of the Christian world does despise prophecies, because we've heard a lot of just dumb prophecies or inaccurate prophecies, and so a lot of the Christian world just throws it out, treats it like whatever, it's not a big deal. Do not despise prophecies, but, the next verse, but test everything, hold fast what is good. Number three, quick pointer, is nurture your gifts. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul, again to Timothy, says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. you know, we're going to prophesy over you today. It doesn't mean that what we speak over you is automatically going to happen. You know, if we prophesy that you're called to be a worship leader and you don't know music, you don't know an instrument, you can't sing, but you would really like that, it's not going to happen if you just go home and watch YouTube videos and stare at memes all day. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to worship God. You're going to have to buy a guitar or a keyboard or something and maybe try to learn. You got to fan into flame the gift that God will put in you today. Whether it's worship leading or maybe God might speak over someone that you have a gift of prophecy, you have a gift of healing, whatever it is, you're going to have to learn about that and you're going to have to pursue it and pray for it and fight till you get that. It's not going to happen if you just get lazy about it. Nurture your gift. Amen? Yeah. All right. One last thing before we have the new members come up here. I want to encourage everybody. So we're going to have the elders, ministry leaders, and wives up here and a few others that we know have a gift, a prophetic gift, but everybody else, the Bible is clear. We can all prophesy. In Joel chapter 2, I don't want to read the whole thing, but Joel chapter 2 talks about that. Yeah, let's read the whole thing. I mean, not the whole chapter, just verses 28 and 29, which I think you guys have. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. God promises, this was years and years before Jesus, before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit descended on the church. God promised, one day I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Acts chapter 2, 2,000 years ago, Peter said, this is happening today when the Holy Spirit fell on the church. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can prophesy. So as we're As us ministry leaders are up here praying over the people, if God speaks something to you, you have an obligation to come up here and say, hey, I heard a prophecy for him. Can I share it? If you sit back there in your chair, you're going to be held accountable before God. If God speaks something to you that you're supposed to share with one of the people up here, he's not going to blame me for that. You're going to answer to him about that. We can all prophesy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, three different times, Paul makes it clear that his expectation over the Corinthian church was that everybody would prophesy, but orderly, not all at the same time in chaotic sense. Verse 5, he says, now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. Verse 24, if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. Verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged. The expectation on the New Testament church was that we can all prophesy. So as you're sitting in the chairs, you know, be praying along with us. And if God speaks something to you, come on up. And to make it easier, you could tap me or Brian on the shoulder. You know us, we're not scary people. And you can say, hey, I got this prophetic word. I'm kind of nervous about it. What do you think? Sure, it's going to be fine. So I want to encourage you to listen to God. Don't just tune out and start looking at Facebook or Twitter or something and reading the news, but be in prayer and be open for the Holy Spirit to speak to you as well. Amen? Amen. All right, so I talked too long. All right, let's get the new members up here.